Stan Goldman, who had set up this appointment with the chairman of Tango Paru Limited. Apparently unperturbed by his employer's tardiness, the slender, aging theoretician was immersed in the latest issue of Physical Review. No hope for distraction there. Alex sighed and let his eyes rove George Hutton's office one more time, hoping to get a measure of the man. Of course, the conference table was equipped with the best and latest plaques for accessing the World Data Net. One entire wall was taken up by an active event screen, a montage of real-time views from random locations across the Earth, zeppelins cruising above Wuhan, sunrise in a North African village, the urban lights of any city in the world. Original holographic sculptures of mythical beasts shimmered by the entrance to the suite, but nearest the desk were Hutton's dearest treasures, minerals and ores collected over a lifetime grubbing through the planet's crust, including a huge blood zircon, glittering on a pedestal just below the Maori war mask. It struck Alex that both objects were products of fiery crucibles, one mineral, the other social. Each denoted resilience under pressure. Perhaps this said something about George Hutton's personality as well. But then, perhaps it meant nothing at all. Alex had never been a great judge of people. Witness the events of the last year. With a sudden click and hum, the hallway doors parted and a tall, brown man appeared, breathing hard and coated with perspiration.
Ah, you made yourselves at home. Good. Sorry to keep you waiting, Stan. Dr. Lustig, excuse me, will you? I'll only be a moment.
He peeled a sweaty jersey off broad shoulders, striding past a window overlooking the sailboats of Auckland Harbor. George Hutton, I presume, Alex thought as he lowered his outstretched hand and sat back down. Not much for formality. That's just as well, I suppose. From the open door to the lavatory, Hutton shouted,
"A game of delay after delay for injuries. Minor stuff, fortunately, but I'm sure you understand. I couldn't let the Tango Peru team down when I was needed, not during the finals against Nippon Electric."
Normally, it might seem odd for a businessman in his 50s to neglect appointments for a rugby game, but the dusky giant toweling himself off in the loo seemed completely unselfconscious, aglow with victory. Alex glanced at his former teacher, who now worked for Hutton here in New Zealand. Stan only shrugged, as if to say, billionaires made their own rules. Hutton emerged, wearing a dressing gown and drying his hair with a terry cloth towel.
"Can I offer you anything, Dr. Lustig? How about you, Stan?"
"Nothing, thank you," Alex said.
Less reticent, Stan accepted a Glenfiddich in spring water. Then Hutton settled into a plush swivel chair, stretching his long legs beside the kauri wood table.
"Whatever happens," Alex knew, "this is where the trail ends. This is my last hope."
The Maori engineer businessman regarded him with piercing brown eyes.
"I'm told you want to discuss the Iquitos incident, Dr. Lustig, and the miniature black hole you let slip out of your hands there. Frankly, I thought you'd be sick of that embarrassment by now. What did some press hacks call it then? A possible China syndrome?"
Stan cut in.
"A few sensationalists set off a 5-minute panic on the world net, until the scientific community showed everybody that tiny singularities like Alex's dissipate harmlessly. They're too small to last long by themselves."
Hutton raised one dark eyebrow.
"Is that so, Dr. Lustig?"
Alex had faced that question so many times since Iquitos. By now, he had countless stock answers, from 5-second sound bites for the vid cameras to 10-minute lullabies for Senate investigators, all the way to hours of abstruse mathematics to soothe his fellow physicists. He really ought to be used to it by now. Still, the question burned as it had the first time.
"Talk to me, Lustig,"
the reporter Pedro Manella had demanded on that ashen afternoon in Peru as they watched rioting students set Alex's work site ablaze.
"Tell me that thing you made isn't about to eat its way to China."
Lying had become so reflexive since then, it took some effort to break the habit today.
What did Stan tell you?"
he asked George Hutton, whose broad features still glistened under a thin gloss of perspiration.
"Only that you claim to have a secret, something you've kept from reporters, tribunals, even the security agencies of a dozen nations. In this day and age, that's impressive by itself. But we Maori people of New Zealand have a